that there's one thing that I've known for all my life, and that he has impounded in me with both Bartholomews. And everything. Every single thing you find. For it is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Everything you find. The stroke of the nostrils ends. It was his will that he was striking. And I've come to realize that in all things, God ordains and the reasons for such. I have not found all of the reasons yet that I strove, but I'm seeing some of them, such as I saw when he struck me as a child and took me to the world of silence, that I would never hear the sound and the voices of this world. But he took me to the silence that I would know to listen for his voice and his voice alone. I am convinced that if I had not been dumb, my life would have been radically changed, where it would have been even more so in the world. More talking on the phone than I ever had, more with the chatter and everything, that I would not have had the ear for the silence and for the voice of God. So I thank God, which was once my worst enemy, the thing that I despised the most of my life, my death, has become my best friend. I couldn't possibly imagine, again, giving thanks for being diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, where my life would be changed from a healthy, robust to ever going. So basically, relying upon him daily. But this is what he so chose, that I would know his mercy in a deeper way. So far, what have I learned from that stroke? I doubt if any one of you have ever had a stroke. You can't possibly imagine, okay, the journey that this stroke takes upon you. It was early evening on December 1st, and I had the television on watching Fox News. And all of a sudden, the dizziness, my world spun out of control, where I fell back. And sometimes when I get dizzy with MS, if I just close my eyes, it'll go away. But when I closed my eyes, it was getting even worse, as far as that. And then the next thing, I kept throwing up uncontrollably. But we all thought that that was normal because it was the intense flu season going around. So we got to the restroom, and I was still wrenching and feeling lousy, and Deborah called the ambulance. And they came, and basically there was discussion about flu season, maybe if they just got me back to bed, I would be okay, rest for the night, see how I was the next day. That night I went back to bed, and I slept the entire night, non-stop, which is very unusual for me. The next morning I woke up and I tried to set up and I fell over. I was thirsty. And Deb gave me some water and I began to choke. And I began to aspirate the water was spilling in my lungs. She knew. 911, the ambulance came. And they took me to the emergency room. What I thank God for, more than anything else through this time, I still had a voice. I was still talking. Though Deb said it was pretty lousy. It was a little hard to understand. My mind was intact. I could talk and I could have a conversation to everybody. I remember on 911 we got to the hospital. I said, you gotta know where you're going. Do you know what room number? Are you sure you know what room number? And then ultimately they said yes. And I said, well, just make sure you take me to the room and not to the morgue. I'm not ready. Again, I mean, my mind was intact. I knew what I wanted to do. I knew what I had to do as far as that. But the body was totally gone. It was in the phone. I couldn't sit up without falling over. My hands were gone. They asked me to sign my name. I couldn't write my name. I couldn't swallow. God had stripped me back. I was totally dependent upon His mercy and what He would have for me through every person, through every situation. And bear with me, for the first time in 30 years, I have to keep drinking while I speak. For 10 days, I lost the ability to swallow. It was like the bricks were falling steadily, one by one. I couldn't swallow. And at the same time, they brought three teams of specialists in to try to find my vein to put IVs in. They couldn't find them. So for 6 days, without swallowing, without any IVs, I had no clue what was going into my body. There was talk about putting a feeding tube in the trunk in order that I would go on. One day, God just enlightened me when I tried to swallow, to basically say, okay, manipulate it. You have to do this. So I just rubbed my throat and rubbed my throat. Sure enough, I took some and it went down. And I realized as long as I moved my throat, so gradually the swallowing came back. I'm still not normal. If I'm tired, basically, I have difficulty swallowing. If I eat an omelet for breakfast or any meals, it can take an hour and a half to eat a meal. I swallow, comes up, chew, swallow, it comes up. I mean, it's a constant chewing. But I give thanks. But I still can do it. The smallest things in life, the things that we take for granted that we don't even think about it, once it's been stripped and taken from us, then we go closer and closer to God. Everything, every single thing is ordained by God. His plans are for our good and not to harm us. What possibly can come good from His strength? For my life, He blew the whistle. He stopped everything. And He put the spotlight on all the bruises, all the filth, all the things that was still wrong in my life, that I knew that I was living and not in the holiness of God, but of my own self-will, my resentments and my anger towards people that I held came to a abrupt halt where there was nothing of the ugliness before me. And I saw, and I wept, and I realized He stopped everything to bring me to this place that I would draw deep with him. First Thessalonians, the 16th chapter, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Jesus Christ concerning your will. Everything. I was struck by this illness. I was struck by illness. I was struck by a stroke. It's the strike of the master's hand. It's the strike of with the brush that he paints the canvas of our life. He's completing the picture in us. A beautiful picture that we can't possibly understand or deceive. And I was speaking about my stroke recently in a message, and a brother continued this by following my message with the verse from Philippians 1:12. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened to me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Every single thing that I count the loss is gain, that the gospel they might be known. Over and over in the hospital, God brought people forth to minister to me in the ways of their knowledge and understanding. They couldn't find out what was wrong for me for about the first 10 days. They thought it was my heart. So 3 days I was in the heart unit during all these tests. Finally, through an MRI, they found the stroke in the brainstem, which is not a likely place. But with each department between the heart unit, the stroke unit, the rehab unit, there were people there. And over, they ask, you are a Christian. I am. Basically, they just say, God, like the role of this. One time, I thought it was amusing. Deborah overheard the nurses and doctors, and they were lining up all these specialists to work with me, and they said, you know, we really need to bring in the speech therapist. Her speech has been affected by the stroke. And then thinking, oh no, this is the way she talks all the time. She didn't just find a size up. Well, God instructed the speech therapist to come. And I have cried out, oh Lord, please, every therapy was speech therapy. No speech therapy. I have known speech therapy all of my life. All of my life was the no, no, try it again, no, no, try it again. Anything but speech therapy. Well, the speech therapist came. Only for long enough to show me some exercise for how to swallow. It was the biggest thing. We leave here today, I want you to try one exercise. And I want you to see how difficult it is. Basically, what you need to do, hold on. You need to bite your tongue. That's why swallowing, why you do it. It's really hard. It's really hard. I couldn't do it for days. I mean, I just make these faces right on my head trying to do everything yet to swallow. You bite your tongue and you swallow. Back then it was almost impossible. Today, I can do it about 2 or 3 times in a row, so I'm building it up. The other thing is take your tongue and pretend like you have peanut butter on the roof. And try to lick that peanut butter off and do it over and over. This is what strengthens the throat muscles. Okay? So we had that therapy. Then she was supposed to come back to teach me how to speak German. And I prayed, "Oh Lord, if this is what you really want, okay, but you know me." Well, she came into the room. We were ready to begin the therapy. When all of a sudden, one of the doctors, there was a specialist, walked in. So basically, the doctor knocked her out of place where she couldn't do it. And the time was, she never came back because I left the hospital before you. Because you prayed. It was unheard of. I had a stroke on the 1st. On the 14th of December, I was going home. Basically, I told them. Obviously, they saw enough of Jesus in me, okay, not to mess with me. Because I said, I have to be in Washington, D.C. with the homeless at Christmas. I have 2 speaking appointments that I have to get to in December. I can't just lay around here, okay? So on the 14th, devil, I heard them saying, I think they're going to release you tomorrow. They're going to release me tomorrow. And they took me to rehab. I walked into the room. There was a flight of wooden stairs for therapy for people to climb up and down. First day of rehab. Now I'm just setting up for the very first time. I'm not even walking. I'm just kind of setting up. I look at the stairs, looked at the therapist, and I said, I want to do the steps. Oh, she said, we will. She said, we'll build up to that. No, I said, I want to do the steps now. She said, this is your first day. You can't do them. I said, I have to do them. I want to do them now. So I looked at Deb. Deb looked for me. And Deb shrugged her shoulders. I show you that. But she said, we have to do something. So the therapist says, do you think you'd do it? I said, yes. I'm going to need help and I can do it. On that day, by God's grace, I held on to the 2 rails. I used the upper strength of my body with her and Deb by my side. I climbed the system. We didn't. And why did I have to do it? Because I knew I could never be on the bus on December 24th to reach the homeless unless I could climb the steps. I knew that it would be possible if I could conquer this mountain now. We did. By God's grace, it showed that I would be on that bus. So with that, we left the hospital. Therapy came to the hospital each day. And it's just there. I climbed the steps. It was a little awkward, unhappy rail. These 2 guys, well, they did a good job, but let's just say they're not as sturdy as rails inside his life. But with this walking, I do the short distance. I'm trying to build up my walking that I can get by inside of that. But God has brought another help me, aside from Deborah, and aside from Rodney, my service dog. He has now brought me the beast that I call Barnabas. It's that black thing over there in the corner. Why do I call it the beast? I'm very intimidated by him. It's like learning to drive a car all over again, and I've been driving since the age of 16. But this thing is more difficult. There's a little thing on the top that's the control panel. And the slightest movement will send me into the wall. I have gone into so many walls. I have almost broken my fingers with this. Basically, I'm trying to go up to the prayer chapel up that mountain without realizing the sidewalk ended. Okay, the chair can go. And I'm like this, and there's no place to really turn around. I'm at the mercy of God. And basically, I'm crying out, and Deb going, shh, shh, shh. Don't let the whole school know. But we managed to get down. It's a beast. I don't care for that thing. But it is the will of God. This is what he has for me now. So I have to tame the beast in order to keep going. But as they told me, and we have, I'll keep walking with him. Get your strength back and put that thing in the garage. The one you're 19 and 100 and you need a wheelchair to have it. And that's my attempt. And that's how you can keep praying for his, you know, praying and an answer to God in such a way. And now we pray that you will continue to pray for us, because we have dire need of what's to happen. Both Deborah and I realize at this moment in time, life has changed drastically for us, as far as our everyday movements of how we do different things. And in spite of my failings and in my weakness, God, more than ever in the last few years, is opening the doors for me to speak. I'm in the hospital, lying flat on my bed, can't move, and the phone's ringing, and Deb said, they want to know if you can come and speak on this date. And I said, yes. I can't say nothing. So to this point, we are not turning anything away. This month, I have 6 different appointments. One is in South Dakota. And we scratch and I have South Dakota. How are we going to get there? We drove here from Ohio. And it was a long journey. I think it's something to do with my head, with motion. But I'm very, very unstable in driving, especially when you're doing 70 or 75 miles an hour. So the way we came, all Deborah heard was slow down, stop, all the stopping, the red light. I mean, I wasn't a backseat driver. I was sitting right next to her. So you can only imagine as far as that. God bless Deborah. She has put up with this whole thing 24/7. She never left my bedside in the hospital. Neither did my dog. My dog was right there. So the doctor didn't come to see me. I came to see my dog. And I said, I can't wait to send you the bill. As far as that. But God, through the instruments that he's given, how are we going? I don't know. I don't know if I can endure the flight. With the breathing, the pressure, the different thing, taking the wheelchairs off, during the driving distance. When we made this trip, we started out in Columbus, Ohio, where we had to get Rodney recertified to be a service dog. We took that, like, if I can make it there, we would go to Kentucky to see a friend that was about halfway here. We stopped there if we could make it each day, by day. We move, if we can do it. But I can't do this to the people that are calling to ask me to speak. I've always had the idea and the total belief that if God ordains, he will sustain. He calls, he opens the door, we walk through it. But is it fair to ask this of Deborah, who now packs everything, the wheelchair, the car? It's like a caravan. If we stop somewhere and go into a restaurant, basically you have Sue and me in the wheelchair going, you have Deborah and Rodney the dog going, and I mean, how much more can we do? I don't know. It's not any easier. It's more difficult. And Deborah said, well, why do we always have to do the most difficult things? I don't know, but it is the will of God. It is the will of God. That's what he has so chose. So we're a decision. Do we say yes? Do we say no? Pray for the will of God that it will be revealed to us and what we are to do. Basically, he heard your prayer. I'm with you today because you strengthened me. On my strength in ways that you could have ever imagined. In all things, give thanks. single thing. Wherever you're at, whatever your hardship, you know, whether you're sick, whether you're frail, whether you're having financial ruin, whether you're facing poverty, whether you're facing loneliness, every single thing, everything comes from God. It is ordained for you by God through Christ Jesus. And whatever you face, whatever your lot may be, it is for your good, not to harm you. It is for your good to channel you for where He wants you to be. It is for your good to teach you that you might grow in likeness of Him. God does not make mistakes. God doesn't. He will teach you if you will listen. And more importantly, if you give thanks for whatever might come into your life. I'm learning this by the smallest of the small. I go to a story, and I think it's much easier to get a scooter at the store rather than take the band in and out. Deb goes into the door, comes back, but there's no scooter. And she looks at me, the word of God. We know now is not the time to come. We'll do something else. Wreck our past. My door is closing. My door is opening. You know, we have one of the most interesting stories coming. And I wrote a blog on this one about the GPS. And God, it's amazing how God has used the GPS and how the GPS has reflected my lesson on God. You know, as we travel, we're out there. We have no idea where we're at. We have no idea the direction that we're taking. All we do is we type in the address of GPS. We look at it. We follow it. And it takes us. Is that not what God does? We're going on in our life. Do we not pray, Lord, lead us, guide us, and then just wait upon the Lord and not go with Him? And He's come to show us. Coming down here, we're following the GPS and we're on the interstate, and all of a sudden the GPS flashes a sign and saying, different route, shorter way. Take it. Accident. And I realize we're now getting off the interstate, which is the fastest place on earth. You do not take back roads with red lines and cities in order to go fast. You stay on the interstate. But on this particular time, I knew God was in control, so I said, we'll take the back roads. We'll follow the GPS. We winded around. We did everything. About 5 minutes, GPS put us right back on the freeway. And we've been on that freeway, the huge line of traffic all behind us. We now were in front of it and went forward. Yes, there was a huge accident. All the cars were backed up for miles, but the GPS said, go this way. Miss it. We did. We were ahead of everybody and went smoothly. God has taught me a lot about Himself with that GPS. This is the way God works. Why? He can see the future. He knows what's ahead. He knows the world wants. He knows what will harm us. It's for our good to keep us safe. Why do we not listen to God? Why do we mumble? Why do we grumble? Why can we not just rest perfectly at peace and know that it is His will for our life? a little bit of credit for getting the job done. I've learned a lot with this book. Things that I would have never known. Yes. I thank God for the strength, for the lessons that he continues to teach me. I thank God for the answers of prayer. I thank God for Eon. You know, I think this is my fourth time coming with the privilege to be able to address you, to proclaim him to you. You know, I'm not a preacher or a teacher or a pastor. I'm a witness that has seen the great and mighty powerful things that he has done to be able to come to encourage you, to help strengthen you. I thank you, and this time more than ever, to be able to step before you, because you're brave, to regain that strength, to be able to continue. But whatever love that he has to me, it is for the furtherance of the gospel that it might be made known. Recently, we were on a speaking event, and I met up with a man that did wood carving. He was a man that was very prosperous and became afflicted with epilepsy. And lost all of his business and lost everything. God took him to the cross. And from that day, he had a ministry called the Carrying Cross, where he carves out the cross with scripture version. And it's in a little plaque with the scripture version where that cross comes out. The people can carry with them wherever they go on that day with that scripture verse. The first thing in the morning, then at night, they come home and they put it back into the box inside of them. I thought of you. I thought of your prayer chaplain. And I had him make the cross for the school with your logo and with your mission, training believers to live like Christ, for Christ, out of the riches of Christ, anywhere in the world.